Hi, it's Sean D'Souza, and what you're listening to is a series called 22 Minutes with Sean. But what we're going to explore in this series is a whole bunch of questions that members at 5000 BC ask. We'll look at how these questions can be answered in a very short period of time so that you can move ahead. So here we go, 22 Minutes with Sean.
My name is Amy, and I teach online as well as offline about illustration and creativity. So not about the techniques, but more about the concept and the process of ideation behind illustrations. My questions are mostly related to topics about target profiles and also about market research. My first question is, how do you know if you've hit the right target market who will buy your products?
It's not always easy to know what you're trying to or who you're trying to get to. But here's the thing that I work with. I tend to not worry about the target audience, as it were. I try to make sure that I create something that will make me very happy. And then I try and find the problem that other people are trying to solve. So to give you an example, say the article writing course. Now, I wanted to teach people how to write articles, but what they were trying to do was they were trying to get clients to call them instead of having to chase after clients. So what I do is I find what I want to do. Then I find the problem that people are trying to solve, and then I merge the two so that I can sell the product or the service.
Right. So continuing from that, so would you say that those topics are kind of the things that you're curious about in the sense that you don't know much about that topic that you are interested to pursue, but then you kind of figured out how to break down the whole thing into digestible chunks?
Yes, that tends to be the way I go about things. So say, for instance, uniqueness. I understand how to create uniqueness, but I realize there is also a great depth to uniqueness that I would not bother to figure out if I didn't have to do a workshop or a training or something like that. And so I will go into that because I want to explore it more than the client. The same thing would be, say, for the first 50 words course now, which we just finished. Well, I already know how to write the first 50 words, but how do I make my first 50 words even better than it is right now? I do the courses so that it is primarily for me, and along the way, the client also gets great value from it. So both of us are in this game. And part of it is to discover something that I know a bit about or a reasonable amount about, but I want to find out more. That's approximately how I go about stuff. I don't take on something that I don't know anything about and then have to do research. That would just be madness for me.
Right. Very fair. And, this is regarding the target profile. So how do you reconcile the fact that you are actually building the course for yourself and out of the curiosity for the subjects that you're interested in, but how do you marry that with the idea of the target profile? Because you said that you wanted to do it for yourself, but then when does that target profile come in?
So let's say, for instance, now I want to do a whole bunch of stock cartoons. And then I say, I'm going to do this project. And I then put it out there. Maybe I put it on Facebook. Maybe I put it in 5000 BC, wherever it is possible. Or I pick somebody. I know, say, a person like Cher. And Cher wants the stock cartoon. So then I'll go, okay, Cher has bought a lot of our products. She's a good customer. She is very desperate to get this stuff. So then I will call Cher and I will speak to Cher and ask her, what is the problem that you're trying to solve? Why do you want these stock cartoons anyway? Why can't you just draw your own stuff? And at that point, she will tell me the problem. And almost invariably, her problem will be different from the problem I'm trying to solve. So I'm trying to solve, I'm going to create these stock cartoons in Photoshop, and then we're going to be able to move stuff around. You're going to be able to change the hands. And she doesn't want any of that stuff. She probably just wants something to make her books look really good because she's tired of having the ebooks with the same stock cartoons that you get or stock photography that you get everywhere else. So now what she's done is suddenly opened up my mind to what she really wants. And the answer is stock cartoons.
So would it be fair to say that if you're first starting out and you don't have a target, an audience perhaps that you can interview, you can place yourself as the target profile because you're trying to solve a problem that you're having yourself? Or does it work that way, or is it not as effective if you had used a target profile instead?
It's a bit like looking at your own nose. It's possible, but it's not ideal. There are enough people, even if you're just starting out, and what you really need to do is find someone who's A, willing to pay for something, keen on buying it, is quite desperate to buy something, maybe not necessarily from you, but maybe from somebody else, but they're willing to pay. So somebody, say you're doing, say, a copywriting course or a drawing course or whatever, they're willing to pay for the course. They're very keen to do it. It doesn't have to be from you. It could be for somebody else. So if you're starting out, that's okay. The other way, now thinking about it, is let's say you already kind of joined a course with somebody else. Say somebody else had a course and you joined the course, and some people were very excited to join the course. You could then reach out to them and go, why did you join the course? Right. And then you could build a target profile. These are all kind of sidestepping the main thing, which is ideally you want to get a client. You know, if you go offline and you try to sell any skills, it's usually you have to make a pitch to somebody so that they decide to come to a class or to a workshop or whatever. You almost have to think of what would you do if you were going offline instead of just sitting online and going, okay, let's do this online. And usually they will say, you know, I wanted to learn Spanish my whole life, and I've tried to learn Spanish going to different classes and whatever. And they will tell you the problem that they're facing. And the problem may be that I know enough vocabulary, but I don't have the confidence to speak more than two sentences. So now we have a problem. And the solution is whatever you're creating, which might be Spanish and pictures. They don't really care about your solution to begin with. The only thing they care about is that they have this problem that they can't speak Spanish for more than two sentences without then saying, you know, no hablo español.
Okay, that's great. How do you get over the fear of being thought of as someone who makes money from preying on the insecurities of others? Now, no one has actually said this to me before, but reading about the target profile interviews, it can make me feel this way. And because of using the actual words from the interviews, makes me feel like if that person reads back the whole sales page, it feels like, would they feel like they're being used? I have this question sometimes.
The best way to figure this out for yourself is if I were to ask you, say now, for instance, at Psychotactics, is there some product that you would, that is of interest to you?
Yes.
Okay, can you name the product?
The article writing course.
Okay. And
and the info products
Okay,
course.
let's we talk about article writing a lot, so let's look at info products, right?
Okay.
What is the reason that you have for doing the info for wanting to do the info products course?
Well, I think because I have a bunch of my own info products already, and I think that I can do better. So I would actually like to learn from someone that's on the same wavelength as me, as you're not on social media, you're not screaming about your own stuff all the time. It feels comfortable, like the kind of method that I would be comfortable using myself.
Now, if I took the exact line that you just quoted and I put it on the sales page with your permission, would you be offended?
Surprisingly, no.
That's your
How
answer.
did you do that? Okay. All right. Okay, that's really powerful. And okay, then I
But
do think about.
you also saw how precise you were, right? You didn't just say that you wanted to create an info product. You said the type of info product you wanted to create and how you were convinced that you didn't want to shout from, using social media and doing all the promotions and all that stuff. So you were very precise. Now, if I take that and I put that out to an audience with your permission, you will find that the audience will go, "That's exactly what I want to do." And so it appeals to them. And now, do you care what the solution is? No, the way you look at it is you go, "Well, that's how Sean does it, so I'm expecting to do that." And then I have to make it clear that, that product actually delivers what you're looking for. And that's it. So we just have to marry the two of them and then we're good to go.
And hearing this over the an audio call is much more different than asking them to type it out on email. Is that right?
That's correct. Because you can sense the emotion in the audio call. And also, I would ask you the follow-up question, which is, okay, so explain to me why don't you want to use social media and do all those kind of things? What's the problem with that? Can you answer?
Mostly because it feels like I'm not afraid of social media. It's just that everybody's using it, and it feels like I want to build connections with my readers first and foremost. I don't want people to just see a photo on Instagram or just know me from one post and then sign up, because then they wouldn't know what I've done so far, what my methods are, what my personality is, and they'd feel as we get a lot of refunds that way. And the people who stick with you, they're not the kind, they know what you're doing and they know how you do it, and that's why they trust you a lot more. I like to build from that tight-knit audience rather than just finding someone new to just stick into the course.
I hope you know that you're a copywriter right now. I could just take all of those words, put it on the sales page, and it would work just beautifully. I would have to do a little bit of editing, not much.
Well, I do copyright as a profession, so maybe that has something to do with
I
it.
know,
But
but clients do this all the time. So you expressed your problem very clearly and you do that on audio. It's very difficult to write it down as clearly as you just did.
I totally see your point. Wow, okay. That's really good. And now, which goes to my next point, is that artists, the audience that I work with are predominantly artists and illustrators who are self-taught. And a lot of them, because they're illustrators and artists, they are not that well off. And the question then becomes, why don't you offer courses for free? Now, it's very, very bad. I know why I don't do things for free. I've been burned many times. But how do you tell people that you're not trying to make money off of them solely? You're also giving them value, but in exchange for that value, they have to offer something up, and then that's when we offer our hand in return. How do you negotiate all these things?
So one of the things that you have to make sure is it's fine if people ask for free, as long as they're getting their petrol for free and their rental for free and their travel for free and everything is free. So you're quite you know, it's fine to say, okay, our course will be free provided everything that you have in your life is already free.
Oh,
Right?
interesting. Yeah.
But it's not that way. They just want your stuff to be free.
Yes.
Right?
It
So
and it and it's more like if you're really sincere in helping people, why aren't you giving this stuff away for free?
correct. And so are the doctors and the nurses. They are very sincere about helping people. There are lots of professions that are very sincere about helping people. These are not the majority of the people that are asking you the questions. These are just one or two, and they are bugging you, aren't they? Or are
Yes, they
they?
are, and probably it's just also internalized in a way.
Yes. Now, the thing is that the concept, the word starving artist, has come about, and people automatically assume that all the artists are starving. Of course, if you were to dig into their credit card balances, you would find that they also go on holiday. They also stay in fancy hotels. They do everything like everybody else. It's just when it comes to the artist part that they remember that they're starving. So what it depends on your mindset as well. If your products or your services are not in a kind of product sequence which goes from low to high, then if it's all hovering around a lower fee, then people will start to expect that you should be charging lower prices. Now you think, well, that doesn't make any sense, but it does. Think about when you go into a discount store, right? All the prices are low. And so you expect everything to be low. But when you go into a store where you see there's a shirt that costs $20 and there is a $2,000 shirt, you almost invariably, I mean, you invariably don't pick the $20 shirt. So what you've got to understand is that on your site, you've got to have pricing that goes from low to high prices. And then what clients do is they benchmark and they go, well, I'm not going to do a $2,000 course, but I'll be quite happy to pay $500. The problem is when everything is $50, then the way I see it is, well, now $60 is too expensive because it is expensive. It's 20% more. So to cr and what I advise clients is that, announce a retreat. Announce a retreat in Spain, and say that it's going to be $2,000, and maybe it includes accommodation. I don't know. And go to Spain, and maybe three people will show up. Maybe two people will show up. Maybe first time nobody will show up. But your clients will pay attention. And when they pay attention, they'll go, well, I don't want the 2,000, but do you have like a $1,000 workshop somewhere? So if you don't create that level of pricing, I'm not suggesting 1,000 or 2,000 or whatever. I don't know what your prices are, but if you don't create that level of expectation, then it's like going into a discount shop. You're only going to expect a discount. And then the discounts are so low that, well, you might as well give it free as well. So that's where the free thing comes in from. So it's not like we don't get an email saying, can we have this, like a scholarship or something? We'll still get it. But it's less frequent now than when we used to sell something for, say, $10 or $20. So that's
That
it. Yeah.
that's a really interesting. So, has that ever happened to you? That means you've announced the workshop, but nobody signed up. but because of this bar that you've raised up for yourself, you are able to actually raise the prices accordingly, and people have an expectation of what kind of prices. So if you launch a $50 course compared to that $2,000 retreat, people would think that 50 would be a steal.
Yes, but usually they don't. They don't. So it's a normal pricing thing, even though it sounds devious. As human beings, we don't want to buy the cheapest thing. Right. So if I go and say to you, you know, there are shoes that you can buy that look astounding and they're just $3, you somehow feel there has to be something wrong with those shoes. If they are right. $250, you feel there must be something right with those shoes.
Right.
So from a client's point of view as well, you're not doing them a favor if you have everything cheap.
Right.
And
has anybody, and have you ever done announced the workshop when nobody turned up?
No, but we've come close to that. As in 2010, when we did the copywriting course, we had already been in business for 10 years. We didn't change any price, but only 4 people signed up. And what I learned from that was I went through the course because, you know, even if one person signs up. But the very next time we announced the course, it had gone up in price by over $1,000. And it sold out in 20 minutes. No other course has sold out in 20 minutes. I mean, they take sometimes 1 hour. I know it's still very fast. But the point is that it's sold out in... No other course has come to that speed. So if I sat at that point and go, oh, only 4 people are signing up for this, I might as well give up.
Right.
So I didn't do that. What I did was I said, okay, the next time I'm going to do this properly, I'm going to pre-sell it, I'm going to go through the stages, I'm going to work this out so that when it comes around, people will be interested in it. And sure enough, that's, you know, you give it time, you pre-sell, you work through the system, and it works.
So it's not just about throwing an idea just one time when it didn't work, but to actually find out why it didn't work and then work through the steps, or maybe try a new target profile interview, or, you know, do something with it. Don't just throw it away, right?
Think of it as an advertisement. So when I first did the article writing course, I didn't intend to do the course at all. I had no idea why anybody would want to learn to write articles from me. And I had no idea why anybody would want to learn to write articles in the first place. So I just announced the course just because Renuka and I decided that we'll just announce the course and we'll see. And the next year, maybe someone will sign up. And everyone, I mean, the course was full. And we were like, oh, okay, now we have to do the course. So look at it like that. Look at it at... Sell it at a price point that you're happy with. Sell a course that you're happy with. And if it doesn't work, then it's just an advertisement for the next year. But there's a very good chance that it'll work this year itself.
Interesting. And how? Maybe a last question, if we have time, I think.
Yes.
Okay. How do you go about deciding which courses go on and which for some... Some of the courses you've done maybe once in every 2 years, or some you do it two times a year maybe. So how do you decide which courses, you know, go when?
Yeah. So one of the things that also work in marketing is scarcity. If a client feels like they can get the course every time at any time, they don't bother about it. The moment they realize that, you know, the article writing course now is going to be in 2018. Mm-hmm. Now there's a problem. It's like, I should move quickly. So the scarcity factor helps. So I will do the article writing course once a year, the copywriting course maybe once every 2 years or 3 years. It depends. It depends on how much I want to improve my own writing skills, my own teaching skills. So it depends on my priorities as well. But it also depends on a second level as a scarcity level, which is if you offer something all the time, then somebody can pick it all the time. But if you don't offer it all the time, then they are forced to pay attention.
Right. I have more questions from this, but if you want to go on or if you'd like to stop.
Let's go on for a few moments.
Okay, but you do have the home courses that you can take. Then those cost quite a bit as well. So does the idea of scarcity apply to those as well?
They do now.
Oh, they do
So
now.
people would say, well, that's a home study course. That's digital files. Those, you can sell as many as you want.
Right.
We found that even in that situation, it's important to have scarcity. So now, when you say in May of this year, we'll offer the article writing home study, and I think there are only 35 copies. Now you can say, well, you can sell 200 copies, but we found that selling smaller batches is much better, and we can also check. So we get no refunds now because we put them on a waiting list. We check. We do our own checks. Renuka has her own system, and so we get rid of all the people who've been happily pirating our courses all these years. And selling it, not just pirating it, but selling it, reselling it.
Whoa.
And that's it. So we've got rid of that piracy concept. And secondly, it has actually increased our sales. Selling less, selling scarcer amounts have increased our sales, and we can decide when we want to sell it. I know it seems unfair if you just arrive on the site and you have to wait for 3 or 4 months, but eventually you have to do what's good for you as well, not just always for the client.
It's a build-up, I think. It's like telling yourself you're going to eat fried chicken in 2 days, and then you kind of hype yourself into thinking, wow, I'm going to taste that nice chicken in 2 days. So you get yourself all, having an appetite and all that,
That's
maybe.
right, yeah.
Thank you so much, Sean.
It was a pleasure.
Bye-bye.